Nancy Lee DeMoss says sin usually takes wives to one of two extremes. Either she'll be codependent, needing her husband's approval too much, or she'll be too independent.
If we fall into either one of those extremes, it doesn't allow us to be who God made us to be as women, interdependent upon men, together for the glory of God.
Today, we'll learn how to live in the balance. This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, February 12th. Yesterday, Nancy began a conversation with Mary Cassian. Together, they wrote the workbook, True Woman 101, Divine Design. They talked about some of the ideas in this workbook with their friends Karen Laritz, Aaron Davis, and Carolyn McCulley. They explored how the fall of the first man and woman is still affecting us today. She'll pick back up talking about some of the temptations we face today.
Let's talk for a moment about how sin, saying yes to the deception, to the deceiver, how it affected their relationship with each other and with God. What was some of the fallout there?
Oh, well, we start with the husband. He just threw his wife under the bus. Genesis 3:12 says, the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate.
The woman you gave me.
Right.
You gave me this woman.
She did.
I didn't choose her.
Everything was going okay, God.
The woman. Oh, man. Can you imagine how much that hurt?
Oh, and I can't really imagine. That must have been so painful.
I mean, here, her protector, her provider, her hero just turns on her. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably painful. I mean, she lived in this perfect relationship, and it's like God hadn't even given the judgment against sin, and there are all these, right away, this unity. Like, you could almost hear the crack, like it was just... And her heart must have split in two. I mean, I can't imagine the betrayal she must have felt, because she had gone into it thinking this was a good thing, not having any ill intent, being deceived, not being wise, but not having any malicious intent, I don't think, and just boom, ow.
And I think and we can assume these are the first harsh words that Eve had ever heard. I think a lot of us as women can remember every harsh word that's ever been spoken, right? They make a deep, deep impact in our hearts.
Talking about a marital adjustment time.
Ow.
They had a
big time.
They
did. Yeah.
After that.
That was like a severing.
That word when it says, chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was more crafty. They talk about that craftiness, the schemes of the devil in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about the armor of God. He has these schemes. He had a definite plan.
He knew.
He was working it.
Let me go to the wife, the woman first, with her lack of contentment. She wants competitiveness. I'm going to her. And then when it fell down, I mean, everybody was saying, no, no, no.
And don't you think part of the scheme was to pit husband versus wife?
Well, you keep in mind that in Genesis 1 and 2, which is the way that was paradise, God made them to be have co-dominion, to be co-regents, to serve together for the glory of God.
Unity and equality. Yeah. I mean,
a beautiful partnership.
Very healthy.
Partnership. Yeah. Amazing.
And now it's, you know, not us together, but it's me versus him.
And I don't want to say this, but they were naked. But now that everything was just shown, you know, thrown out, so there was no intimacy.
Yeah.
It was now violated.
Right. And she must have felt incredibly violated. I mean, violated, betrayed. And I'm sure right there, you know, the roots of bitterness and anger and resentment and really self-protection. I mean, that's how I would have reacted. It's like, you got to be kidding me. He's not going to look after me. I better look after myself. You know, this guy's turned on me.
Yes. Right.
And still see that same mindset in our own lives and in our culture. Things really haven't changed that much. So how does culture encourage us as women to assert our independence from men?
It undermines the whole concept of unity and teamwork. And, you know, I'm struck when I look at this, that when the Lord God comes into the garden in verse 9 there, he says, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And if we could understand the implications of our decisions and the impact on other people, to understand that sometimes we do things that other people are going to be called to account for, because that's how authority works. And so God, who gave the rules to Adam, comes to him and says, where were you? Because I gave you the rules. You gave them to Eve. Where were you?
Yeah.
And held
you
it
didn't
to count.
Step up.
Right.
And isn't that a lost principle? Mm-hmm. We don't think our husbands, we don't think of the consequences or the accountability that our mm-hmm. husbands, fathers,
pastors,
mm-hmm. Bosses mm-hmm. may mm-hmm. face because of our choices.
Mm-hmm. And so we think we can do this warfare on our own without realizing that the very essence of unity and community is what's needed in spiritual warfare. So to understand when the first lies get sown anywhere in any one of our relationships, that we withdraw and we hide. Mm-hmm. And we yeah. can't. Yeah. We can't. Yeah. The second we do that, he's already winning. And if mm-hmm. we would understand that more, we'd be less judgmental toward each other. We would understand, like, hey, get that sin into the light as fast as you can. Get it yeah. into the light yeah. mm-hmm. so that yeah. it won't be hidden and you won't be under attack. And we would get each other's backs. So it's not just even a marriage principle, but it's a community because we That's all right. are the bride of Christ.
And the divide and conquer.
It's right,
like
yeah.
divide
yeah.
and conquer, and that was Satan's strategy. Like, go in there, split it up, mm-hmm. and have it us them, mm-hmm. and have the woman exerting her independence and the man blaming the woman and exerting mm-hmm. his independence. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so it's not my fault, it's mm-hmm. her fault. And she's going, well, you know, it wasn't really my fault either. And so instead of working together for a solution, which of course they couldn't do, they couldn't provide the solution.
Right.
It had
mm-hmm.
to be God who yes. comes in, and it has to be God who comes in to mm-hmm. our lives and provide the solution for us. And I think apart from that, we will have a tendency as women, I will have a tendency as a woman, apart from God, to wrap myself in self-protective layers, mm-hmm. to exert my independence, mm-hmm. and to lash out at everyone who I perceive to be a threat to me, mm-hmm. or unsafe for me, mm-hmm. Or competition for me. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, what we see here with Eve, boy, I just resonate with this so much because mm-hmm. I go, you know, this is so sin. And this
and
we're
sin
so
takes
familiar.
Those relationships in one of two extremes, it seems. There's what God created was healthy.
Very healthy.
Interdependence.
Yeah, we
with
had two
God and with each other.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
That were relating.
Needing each other, her mm-hmm. made for him, helper suitable to, mm-hmm. you know, made fashioned for him. It's mm-hmm. that it's just a great sense of holy interdependence, dependent right. upon God, interdependent
like
on each
the
other. Like in the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. But it's quite a love story. Like, no, it's the kind of thing that women are still trying to find and are unable to.
And the heart
to.
Longs for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Satan sends us, I think, in one of two directions, particularly in the marriage relationship, but in others as well, because sin affects all our relationships. Mm-hmm. And it'll be the unhealthy, what some would call codependence, which is, I'm so needy that I can't function.
I need a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
I can't function without you. I'm going to suck my identity and being and right. source
Definition.
Of meaning from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is where a lot of women live. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other extreme of independence.
Right. I don't need you.
I don't need anybody or anything.
Right, right.
And both of those, if we fall into either one of those extremes, it doesn't allow us to be who God made us to be as women, interdependent upon men, together for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Should have been, Eve should have said, we're not going to do this serpent and just get away and all that stuff and come on the same battlefield, on the same tennis court side
yeah, right.
and work this against the enemy because they were in a spiritual battle. And lots of times in relationships or work, employees, relationships with men and women, we get into trouble when we're fighting against each other.
The man becomes the enemy.
When mm-hmm. when the enemy comes, yep. we need to pull forces and mm-hmm. together battle the enemy because he has a spiritual plan for us to
sure.
split up.
Mm-hmm. There's somebody doing this study who is right where you just described,
There's
Karen.
There's a snake in their garden.
There's a snake in the garden,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
Satan has, and somebody
yes.
has sinned.
Mm-hmm.
There's chaos or dysfunction or consequences, and now is an opportunity, a moment of grace mm-hmm. to step into the light mm-hmm. with God and to say, instead of tearing my husband apart or this man at work or this person, this dad who, you know, wounded me or wronged me in some way, I'm going to find a way to, by God's grace, to seek God in our fallenness, to seek his help, to seek his grace, and to see if we can get on the same playing field.
And right. that woman mm-hmm. has a hope to have a different outcome than Eve faced by just taking the one step Eve didn't take, which was consult God.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
she could just
yeah.
take that one simple step today after this yeah. study in her church and consult God, and she'd have a different story.
I would say, too, as a pastor's wife in churches, you have men and women in churches. And sometimes some churches go down the tube. They may physically still be there, but spiritually they are not where God wants them to be. They're not doing kingdom business because you have this infighting, the mm-hmm. women against the men and their authority and all the rest mm-hmm. of that stuff in competition with the, whoever the leaders are, the elders or the deacons. And the outside community is looking at us and says, you know, they can't even get it together in the church because mm-hmm. you have these groups and that group. Everybody's mm-hmm. out of order and they're not being responsible for what mm-hmm. God has called us to, even in the side of a church.
Whenever we have an us-them mentality yeah. with our mm-hmm. with yeah. with people we're in community with, I think that that's where we go wrong. And I think mm-hmm. that is the primary consequence, one of the primary things that happened right away with sin is us-them.
Well, Adam's mm-hmm. blame game didn't work. It didn't work. God said, okay, I will just punish
you. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, my bad.
Never mind.
Sorry.
Where is that Eve?
Yeah.
It absolutely didn't work in the blame game.
Yeah.
Does it ever work? It very rarely works.
Well, you know, we even get a picture of this in Job where you know, God parts the curtains a little bit so we can see that spiritual warfare. It comes in where Satan's in ready to accuse, and he's ready to accuse God, and he's ready to accuse people. It's like, yeah, you give that Job extra special favor. That's why he still blesses you.
Yeah.
And so you see...
The accuser of the brethren.
Right.
Yeah.
And the accuser of God. Like, this man's only, you know, happy with you because you bless him. Mm. And Job's wife.
Oh, goodness.
You know, she falls into that trap that I think maybe some other women are looking at here, which is there are difficult circumstances in my life and I've tried to be righteous and godly all my life and this is what I get. Right. And it's like you survey your circumstances and you go, I don't get this. This can't possibly be God. And you don't understand that there's a bigger picture involved, that if you will stand fast and realize the enemy has accused you and has accused God, and so hold fast in these circumstances and wait, because this story has not been finished yet. Do not try to force an ending and say, like Job's wife, well, just curse God and die.
Exactly.
Don't do that. Mm. Yeah. Don't mm-hmm. do that. Trust God.
Trust God for mm-hmm. who he is.
Yeah.
Believe him for who he is.
And for women who are single, I often go back and use this illustration, and I hope my theology is correct here when I just say, have you ever thought that there could be a moment where, you know, you are in that position where it's like you have to be content to be able to stand there and say, I do not have a husband, but I am not going to curse God and die because of something I didn't get, because I don't know all the implications of spiritual warfare. And maybe God has said, I want her to stand righteously in this sex-saturated society and to say, my God is enough. If you mm-hmm. thought about that in terms of spiritual warfare, would you do it?
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you know, and a lot of times women are like, well, but I still want my prize. It's like, you've got your prize. He's Jesus.
And that's true whether you're married or single.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Single or married.
Yeah, that's right.
That the married woman, she got her prize, but absolutely. We got three married women here to say that marriage isn't always a prize, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's how you have that healthy interaction and that healthy independence by realizing that who you are and ultimately what your life is all about is not about this temporal stuff, but
it's
about your relationship.
By that.
It's not defined mm-hmm. by that.
Yeah.
And so when my circumstances don't look right, when my husband doesn't do what I think he should be doing, when I don't get what the package that I want, when I am bitten with this desire for something more, instead of, you know, reaching out and getting mm-hmm. it an ungodly way, that I remember that there's a bigger picture and a bigger mm-hmm. storyline. And what you said, Aaron, that I go first to God, mm-hmm. that I go first to God.
I was going to say Psalm 139, I have that all marked up because that's such a special portion of scripture for me. You know, when my mother as a teenager, you know, conceived me out of wedlock. And I go back to that to say God had something specifically. He created me in my mother's womb. And then as I look down how my life has unfolded over these years, that prayer at the end of that psalm talks about, then search me, mm-hmm. O God, and see within me this want, this desire to be prideful, sufficient within myself. To my husband, I have to remember that God formed me. He had a purpose and a plan for me. And now I'm created in the image of God. So this, if there's anything in me, being competitive, lack of contentment, prideful in me, that he already knew that. Mm-hmm. So now my prayer is, God, search me and take that out of me. And it's just not once and for all. It's moment by moment. God,
it's a journey, isn't it?
God is you. Mm-hmm. It's God is you.
Daily.
And I have to continue to do it, because I have to fight against that, because the enemy knows my MO, where I came from. Mm-hmm. And I can slip back and all that that whining. But God knew me, and my prayer is, God, you know, I want to be who you created me to be.
Yeah.
It's bigger than anybody can write a book about, but it's in your word. And so search me. And those things are in my fiber of my being, my DNA. God, you're bigger than a DNA.
Right. That's right.
So I'm going to trust you.
And another psalm that is one of my favorites in terms of dealing with bitterness and envy, Psalm 73, where the psalmist is very honest about the fact, I look around and people who don't follow your rules seem to be blessed, and I don't get this. And what is the difficulty? I mean, he's honest. He's honest before God and saying, this is hard. But the turning point is so important, is in verse 16 and 17. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. We have to go into the sanctuary of God, or the end makes no sense.
Yes,
right now, if we just look at our temporal circumstances, we miss all the foreshadowing. We miss all those other important story elements, because we're like, this must be the end of the story, but it's not.
Well, and the story is what it's all about. We talked about paradise, Genesis 1 and 2, then Paradise Lost is Genesis 3 on, and we know the end of the story.
Yes, hallelujah.
Through Christ is paradise regained, but we're not in the happily ever after yet. Mm-hmm. We're in that process where a redeeming God is making all things new. Mm-hmm. And what I love about the message and mission of true womanhood is that, and true manhood for that matter, is that we are called in this, you know, not yet now season, where it is still paradise lost, but we have this faith and this vision heading toward paradise regained, that as the redeemed people of God, men and women, we can glorify God. We can show the end of the story. Mm-hmm. We can show that God is renewing.
We can believe in the end of the story. I mean, you can't always show the best part of it.
But we can model.
We can model it.
We can be
signposts.
And here's the verse that is the signpost right here that came to mind as we were talking. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. And this is how, if you apply this to manhood and womanhood, how we demonstrate what God is doing. May the God of endurance and encouragement.
It's hard.
It's hard. But he is the God of endurance and encouragement. Amen. If that's all the verse said, that would be great.
That's efficient.
May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you, women, men, in the church, in marriage, in the workplace, those who know this God of endurance and encouragement, may he grant you to live in such harmony with one another.
Yeah.
Not independence, not unhealthy codependence, but interdependence and harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing.
That's what
we're telling
doing.
The story. Mm-hmm. So when you, as a couple or as any environment with another believer, you see the problems that sin causes. Mm-hmm. You have the temptation to blame, to feel betrayed and rejected, because it does happen. It's a broken, fallen world. But when instead of getting bitter, throwing, you know, your mate under the bus or God under the bus, when you humble yourself and say, oh God, I need your grace. We need your grace. We've blown it. My mate has blown it. I've blown it. My people in my workplace have blown it. You know, we've blown it. We need you. We come back to him and he gives us his grace and allows us in harmony. Harmony.
It's really the only way we can return to paradise. Not forever, but we can get moments of it where we come to the same juncture that Eve came to, and we make a different choice.
Yeah. We have to also help, you know, in society today, that this Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Sure is.
And there are things that we come to a marathon with, that maybe it's weighing us down. We have to drop some of those things to continue on into the race. And it's a marathon.
It's really a relay race. We have to be passing the baton. Okay. We have to be working together. Mm-hmm. I don't know my racing terminology, but I think, you know, you can't
anyway,
do it all on
work.
Your own.
It's endurance. It's endurance. And everything's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to be in paradise.
And the finish line isn't in this life. The idea that the best will be here. I just keep thinking of this one gospel song where the one line is the best is yet to come. Yeah. You know, it's just a repetition, and I love it because we expect so much here, satisfaction here, and it's a fallen world. We won't experience it here.
But we wait in hope.
In joyful hope.
Yeah. What are we going to leave women with? What do we tell women who are being tempted by the same sort of lies? What would you tell a woman?
Consider the consequences. Mm-hmm.
And consider the prize of obedience.
Right. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. I think simpler, just consider. You know, Eve didn't
stop and think.
Just stop. And consider how it's affecting others. Consider how you can talk to the Lord about it. Consider who can help you to make a different choice. Just stop and think it through.
For me, I'm in the first, I think right now I'm the only Christian in my family, my extended family with my brothers and my mom. And my mother has passed along. And when I think now as a wife and a mother with my children, things that I would have wanted to do, I have to always remember that, first of all, I have God in my life. Mm. And whatever DNA was in my upbringing, whatever, it's gone. I have a responsibility to lead another legacy for them.
Because you have Christ in you.
Yeah, there's no more excuses. There's no excuses for me. I just can't say, well, this is the way I'm made. Mm-hmm. God specializes in changing, you know, changing us. And I've seen that. And it's a long to stay in there and just trust God. And I say, trust God. He's a trustworthy God. And if he can save you, take care of your past, present, and future sins, he's a God that can take care of where you are right now and put in those little holes in your that you're lacking, maybe in your backgrounds and things like that.
You know, Adam and Eve lost a lot in the garden, but they didn't lose God and they didn't lose each other. And I think a woman who's facing temptation to sin, if she can just realize the value of not losing God and not losing those men and women that are in her life, that are God-given, that she can have holy, healthy relationships with, I think that temptation will lose its luster.
That's Erin Davis. She's been talking with Carolyn McCulley, Karen Laritz, Mary Cassian, and Nancy Lee DeMoss. Nancy and Mary wrote a workbook together called True Woman 101, Divine Design. This group of friends has been talking about Chapter 4, which takes readers back to the Garden of Eden. True Woman 101 is perfect for groups to work on together. That's what Jennifer discovered. She's a Bible study leader who wrote to say this: our church has taught your True Woman 101 Bible study this fall. We as women have really benefited from your teaching and your passion and your dedication to the Word of God. We would like to thank you, especially for including the videos and other supplemental materials on your website for free. This has been such a blessing. It has made the study affordable and available. Now, she's talking about a video version of the kind of conversation you just heard between Nancy and her friends. We'd like to send you a copy of True Woman 101 when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts. As you're going through the study, you can watch those matching free online videos as well. Make your donation by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959, or visit reviveourhearts.com. And when you contact us, ask about ordering more books for your whole group at a discount. Nancy Lee DeMoss says there's one book of the Bible that's the most misunderstood and neglected. What do you think it is? The book is a valuable treasure that will show you how to fall and stay in love with Jesus.
There are many verses in this book that are probably familiar to you, even if you've never studied it. And maybe you didn't even know where they came from. For example, you've probably heard the phrase, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And then this phrase, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. You see it on wedding rings and wedding pieces. And then maybe you're familiar with this verse. He brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love.
Nancy Lee DeMoss begins a new teaching series on this book tomorrow. Please join us again for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.